Today on Real Radio.
The Holy Spirit's proof of living in your life is God's love. Well, no, Holy Spirit in my life, proof is speaking in tongues. Doesn't say that. Doing miracles. Doesn't say that. The proof of the Holy Spirit owning you is love. Loving one another.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Now, you could sum up this New Testament epistle in one phrase by saying that its emphasis is for believers to be set apart from the ungodliness of the world. Now, one area of life that the believer must leave in his rearview mirror is putting his trust in creations rather than the true Creator. These issues Paul addresses in chapter 8. We're learning the ways in which we can now let our light so shine before men, now that we have a new life in Jesus Christ. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called The Power of Your Influence.
In this case, there is a great teaching of maturity regarding God's love. And number one, that it is bigger. The best meat's given to these idols. Does it matter? It depends on where you're at in your spiritual growth. He's announcing to us that all of us should come to the understanding that God's love is greater, bigger. God's love is more than these pagan gods that people imagine in their own lives. And what's going on is a great rift in the church there at Corinth. He says to them to consider the reality of what an idol is. And I know we'd laugh about this and all, but there's a real danger to this. We would say today that we don't have idols, but I would argue today that we have more idols than ever before. Some people buy an idol at the dealership and they drive it home, and now their idol is, you don't bring it home as an idol, you don't think, but it turns into one. You drive your idol into your garage, and now all of a sudden your garage is not worthy for this idol. So you have to have your garage redone. You have to have little, you know, race signs and a special tile for your garage. Why? Because the idol has got to pull up there. And you know it's an idol when you park 4 miles away from the store and have to walk so nobody scratches it. That's an idol. Or whatever it might be, a shrine set up. Some of us have a shrine of bowling trophies or whatever it might be. And why? Well, you say, well, that's not an idol. Listen, if we derive our identity from something like that, then it's becoming an idol. It could be how your home looks. It could be how your office looks. It could be how your, whatever it is. I would venture to say that if we took the time to get still before God and examine our hearts, we would find out that there is at least a challenge of idols coming against our affections today as believers. And we need to understand something, that idols are nothing. They have no power to save. They have no power to return love. They have no ability to rescue us. It's we placing our affections upon it. And all in the reality of God's greater love, God's bigger love, the love of God. And so these worship systems had these meat markets, and Christians were buying meat from these locations, and it was stumbling some people. So how do we deal with that? Well, it's important that we examine that. That's the thrust of Paul's chapter here. The Bible says in 1 John 2, verse 27, but the anointing, that is a reference to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit anointing which you've received abides in you. That is, as a Christian, God's Holy Spirit speaks to you. Listen to this. We so often miss this. God the Holy Spirit, who resides in a Christian, is speaking to us constantly about how we should live our lives and the decisions we should make. Did you know that? About anything and everything. He's always speaking, I'm convinced of this, and he's leading and guiding us. That there in verse 1 is that word knowledge. It is a reference to the existence of the Spirit of God in your life. The Christian has this knowledge. Now watch this. Man, we could spend all our day on verse 1. You see where it says knowledge puffs up? The word means knowledge without love swells the head. Have you ever seen anybody like that? Paul says, don't let education about God be left at, never put it into practice. Put it into practice, doing what you know is the right thing to do, is love in action. Aren't you glad that our God's not a spectator, but he puts love into action? For God so loved the world that he gave. He came from heaven to earth. He put his love in action to communicate to you and I how much he cares, how much bigger his love is than what any idol in this world could afford us, no matter how much value we put on that idol. And that's an important thing to know. Christians, by the Spirit of God, they know down deep inside what they ought to do and what they shouldn't do. And this is powerful. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. John says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. You cannot have a Christian who doesn't love people. It's impossible. You see, now look, many of us grew up and we didn't know Jesus and we didn't love people. People were the problem. Of course, we were never the problem. The other guy was the problem. And then we became a Christian. Strange things began to happen to us. We began to care about people who we used to avoid. Remember? We used to speed up when we drove past the guy at the end of the freeway off ramp who has this sign saying, I'm homeless. We used to just drive by them. Now we think like this, if the guy is a sham or not, if the guy's false or true, if the guy, that's not for me to decide. The guy's standing there and we've got food in the trunk or we got a bag of food. We pull over and we hand it to the guy. Why? Listen, that guy thinks he's getting a meal from you for free or $5. If you're going to give the guy $5, listen, I think it's wrong to give the guy $5 and say, don't blow it on alcohol, will you? Don't say that. If you're giving him $5, put love in action and say, listen, here's $5. Here's $5. You can't have it until you hear this. Jesus loves you, died on the cross for your sins. You don't have to live like this, my friend. In fact, the Bible says the righteous shall never be seen begging bread. And so here you go. I'm putting the love of God in action. There's $5. For $5, I paid for the opportunity to give them Jesus. That guy thinks he just got $5. No. For $5, I got to give that guy an eternal truth. And the moment you pull over or pull out that $5, that guy's not going anywhere. You can say, hey, let me tell you, let's go through the four spiritual laws and the five pillars of faith, and let's do this about salvation and redemption and sanctification. Are you with me? You could do that. Before we were Christians, we just looked the other way when we drove by. Well, I didn't see that guy right there. Remember that? We didn't care about people. It's one thing to feed somebody. It's far bigger to give them Jesus. The next thing in verse 4 is that God's love is brighter. God's love illuminates. Therefore, concerning the eating of the things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world. That's Paul's analysis. This is coming from a very strict Jewish man who now has met Jesus, and he announces an idol is worthless. Christians at Corinth, idols are meaningless, he says. And that there is no other God but one. We know this as Christians, do we not? That our God is one and there are no other gods. God is not in a competition. He's not some God on a list of gods. That he's one, and that word means he's the one and only. Idols are absolute, mere manifestations of the works of man's hands. And in Corinth, there was Jupiter, Mercury, Atlas was there, Diana was there, on and on the list goes. They were all wooden, stone images, some of them overlaid with gold to up their value, but nonetheless, they were gods made of human hands. And I want to suggest this to you, that maybe exclusively, maybe, the idols of today are man-made. Now, I'm hesitating right now because I got to tell you, I planted some flowers in my backyard that God made. He made them. And I'm thinking, this week I planted those flowers, and I really like the way they look. And I've walked around and I've looked at them from different angles. Now, I'm flirting right now with danger at this point, because now I'm starting to think, I placed those in the right spot. That looks great. My, my, what a fantastic kingdom I have built. The kingdom of hydrangeas and, are you hearing me here? Does this apply to you too? Him and I, the rest of you. Sheesh, I know something you don't know. It applies to you. And we start looking at this stuff and it's like, oh my. And if I don't stop and give God the glory, I'm getting goofy now. I should say, Lord, what a great job. You made these things and it just changed the whole, are you with me? That's how we should give God the glory. But the moment we start looking at it, it's like, hey, wait a minute now. How did I make this happen? God's love is brighter in that it illuminates. It causes us to see the truth about who we are. Idols don't do that. And Paul says idols are zip. They're worthless. They're meaningless. By the way, idols always approve and sanction what you want to do. Idols are very convenient because they enforce and reinforce what you want. Pretty amazing. But these things are empty things. The issue, the point, the standard is Christian love. He says there's no other God but one. The Bible says in Romans 5, verse 5, you might want to mark this down. I love this verse, and it is true in the life of the true believer. Romans 5, 5 says that the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The Holy Spirit's proof, now watch this, of living in your life is God's love. Well, no, Holy Spirit in my life, proof is speaking in tongues. Doesn't say that. The proof of the Holy Spirit in my life is what? Doing miracles. Doesn't say that. The proof of the Holy Spirit owning you is love. Loving one another. Truly loving each other. And then thirdly, under this point, verses 5-6, it is this. God's love in us and through us influences us this way. Verse 5 says, for even if there are so-called gods, these are these man-made idols, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, watch this, the Father of whom are all things, and we for him. That statement means that you've been created for God the Father. But how do we experience him? And there's one Lord. Lord is the vehicle, the office, the position. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord's not Jesus's first name. That's what he is. He's the Lord. And he is the mediator, Jesus is, between man and God. It's Jesus that takes us to the Father. How do we experience the fact that we have been created for God the Father? We experience that avenue through Jesus Christ the Son. The Bible says, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. That is an awesome statement, church. The Bible tells us that without Jesus Christ, you have no life. And you say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm not a Christian, and I have a life. No, you don't. Oh, little do you know. I'm worth bazillions, and I've got this, and I've got the other, and you're what? Just like the rich young ruler in the Bible? Who was rich, he was young, and he had power. He was a mover and shaker of his day. And that young man found out that all of his wealth couldn't buy any experience or relationship with God. Everything he had, draw the line, and the number was zero. And the world looks at that because we idolize things. Oh, ooh, look at that guy. Look at that girl. Look at her wealth. Look at her fame. Look at his fortune. Wait. The Bible says that's a zero. And we say it, and I teach it, we read it, but do we believe it? Joplin, Missouri. We've all watched the devastation and the heartbreak. I saw a man the other day who was on the news. His one-year-old son, the father was caught in that one of those tornadoes. The father got in the fetal position and hung on to his one-year-old son. I don't understand this. I hope I never, have the opportunity to understand it. Imagine that father hanging on to that son, he said. He was gripping onto that little baby boy, 1 year old, just like Nathan a moment ago, 1 year old. And the tornado took the son, took the child out of his arms. I don't understand that. Can you imagine? Let me ask you, stop right there. Can an idol help you in that moment? Where's your car? Where's your money? Where is your power and your degrees and all? Look, I'm not knocking education. I'm not knocking the fact that you own a car. But when we place value on those things to rescue us, we wind up being broke in the end. And there was no power on earth that could keep that man's baby in his arms. And they found that child 2 miles away. Amazing. I mean, they found the child dead 2 miles away. There's nothing in this world or what this world can offer. In church, when everything gets stripped and pulled from its foundations, what will you have? You have the love of God. You have not followed some stupid, cunningly devised fables that are wrapped up in what's called Christianity. This is not a game, it's not a joke. And the world is mocking us. The world is making fun of us. And it's strange to me. The world is suffering more. People are losing more. People are upset more. You would think people would run to the God who loves them. And what are they doing? They're hardening their hearts against the God who loves them. It's amazing to me. God's love is better, we see in verses 5 and 6. God's love's better. Watch this. I'm going to show you some images of gods in the world. The ancient Greeks were enamored with gods. And some of these gods, you actually recognize some of these. It's quite amazing. But how many of you recognize that spot, first of all? We've been here. This is Caesarea Philippi in northern Israel. Do you see those niches in the rocks? Those of you who have never been there, this is northern Israel. That's where you placed your god, and then you backed away, and that's when you went through your acts of worship based, and it's funny, you carried your idol to the worship temple and you had to pick him up because he couldn't get there himself. You had to put him in the hole and then you go nuts in worship of him. And then you got to go up there and reach him and wrap him up and take him home, make sure you don't break him. Next slide. Next slide. That's the temple there in Caesarea in Israel. That big, see that big hole behind there? That big, that's a big cave. It's there today. And that is known as the gates of hell. Remember, Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. In Israel, this was the focal center point. This was the Laguna Beach of Israel of the day. All the lunatic, crazy, pyramid-wearing, idol-worshipping, pantheist worshipped right here. Next slide. This is in Berlin. This is the Museum of Pergamum. Remember in the Bible, Book of Revelation, unto the church at Pergamum, Jesus wrote, this is the temple. Remember how Jesus says, I know where you live, church. You live at where the seat of Satan is. In the Book of Revelation, guess what? When Germany invaded that area of Turkey, they brought back the seat of Satan. If you ever go to Berlin, there's only one reason why to go to Berlin, and that's to go to the temple of Satan. And go to that museum. Those are massive gods of the Greek ancient world. And you ascended up to the top. The Germans took it brick by brick to Germany and rebuilt it. Next slide. If you've been to Rome, this is, by the way, what you're looking at. Paul the Apostle physically walked up to that building and looked at it and touched it and all that kind of stuff. I mean, imagine that. Inside the Pantheon was a manifestation of various Greek gods. These gods were represented all over the world. I think we have another slide, maybe not. Yeah, another angle, we can keep going. There's the inside of it, absolutely spectacular. But you see those marble, you see those circles and squares. Do you see them, everybody? In the ancient days, each god was positioned there. By the way, if you've ever been to the Vatican, they have the display. The Vatican doesn't display any knockoffs. When you go to the Vatican, it doesn't say this is a replica of. They don't do that there. Do you know what they display there? Only the real deal. And I don't know if we have some pictures of this or not, you guys. Let's go. Move it. There you go. Janus. This is the god. This is in the Vatican. This is Janus. You know the word January. This is a God that looks back to the year that's just passed and ahead to the year that's before us. Janus, the two-faced God. You guys know this guy, don't you? Remember school? This is Atlas. Atlas carried the world. These are the real ones. People would make offerings to these gods. You see, that's crazy. Wait a minute. Next slide. You know who this is? You might have her shoes on. Nike, right on. This is Nike, the god of champions. That's the real one. People would make offerings before her. That's the real deal. Church, mark this down. Greece, the empire, influenced the world with what? With these gods. They were highly educated people. They probably read better and more. They were certainly more diverse in their languages. They were engineers. They were astronomers. It's safe to say they're probably smarter than us. But they worship pagan gods. Don't think that worshiping of pagan gods is for the ignorant. It's amazing to think that, huh? These people are highly educated. They shaped the world. By the way, I was interested in finding this out. Did you know that atheism is an extremely young religion? Atheism says there is no God. Did you know that's a relatively new way of thinking that mankind in every culture has always worshiped a god or gods? And atheism is relatively new. Atheism came out of the communism thought process. And what does that do to a mindset culture? What does it do by influence? It's very interesting. Well, the second thing that we want to see is this. Point number two, mark it down if you would, is that how God's love influences me, verses 7 and 8. It does this way. He has set me free from religious efforts. Look at verse 7. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge, for some with consciousness of the idol until now eat as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. Very quickly, the love of God in your life influences you. Influences me this way, number one. It sets us free from religious efforts. Religious efforts. Here's the truth. Paul is saying there are Christians who got it. Christians understand. They've spent time with God. Church, listen. They've dived into the Word of God and they've come to conclude, idols are nothing and God loves me. There are Christians who have either squandered their time, goofed off, or they're brand new Christians, which is fantastic. And they're learning, but they're in that state, that condition, they're still torn up by the things of the world.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that looks at 1 Corinthians chapter 8, where the Apostle Paul speaks of what kind of attitude believers should have toward idols, which are more prevalent than we might think. The title of the study, The Power of Your Influence. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, remember, we just wrapped up a multi-part series here on Real Radio called God, Marriage, and Divorce. And the calls and online requests for the DVD package are still coming in. So we're excited to offer, for your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you this four-part series on DVD. That's right, you heard it. Your gift of any amount. God, Marriage, and Divorce is the name of the DVD series. And remember that your gifts are tax-deductible. You can call, click, or write. Just remember to mention it by name, God, Marriage, and Divorce. It's a four-DVD set. And we think you're going to like it. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And then click on the button to the right there that says special offer, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like to write to us, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all that contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.